Now, one part of our tradition is to, as I've just done, is to read a passage from a gospel every Sunday. Some may feel this a bit restrictive, but it has a great advantage, is that nearly every week we hear Jesus speaking from the past. We hear his words, we hear his voice, and we begin to know what he sounds like through the words of the gospels. Apparently, if you work in a bank, they don't bother to teach you what counterfeit money looks like or feels like. That if you're working with real money all the time, as soon as you come across anything that's false, you recognize it immediately. And that's the best way for us too, to hear the voice of Jesus, because we need to keep hearing his voice from the past so that we can hear his voice in the present. There's a verse that I read this morning from that passage, which I think is really significant and something that we should really always hold on to. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, you may not be happy about being compared to sheep, but we have to accept that Jesus is the good shepherd. And he speaks repeatedly about himself as the shepherd, and ourselves as the sheep, the flock. For example, in Luke's gospel, he said to the disciples, and he does say to us, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Receiving the kingdom of God is not a matter of us going out and grabbing it, forcing it into our possession. It's about being willing to receive the gift that Jesus wants to give us, to know him and to know his Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. "Do not be afraid, little flock," he said, "for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." So we should really expect to hear Jesus today. When he says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me," all those verbs there are in the continuous present tense. It should be the expectation of Christians to hear the voice of Jesus as we go through our lives. Now, when was it Thursday? Was it Thursday we went to the St. Mary's in Saffron Walden for the Archdeacon's visitation? Every year, the church wardens are sworn in for the year ahead. But also the Archdeacon normally gives us his charge. He speaks to us about what he feels is important. But this year was a bit different. And Barbara was sworn in, and Robin and Helen were there as well. Because at the end of the service, or after the service really, Bishop Stephen, the Bishop of Chelmsford, stood up and started to talk about a vision for the whole diocese. And he was basically giving the whole diocese a challenge to plant 101 new congregations in the next 10 years. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Even though it's a very big diocese and there are lots and lots of churches and lots of parishes, it's still quite a challenge to take on. But I really believe there was something missing from that. And I really do hesitate before saying something about my boss's boss. I really believe the thing that's missing, and it's kind of a continual thing that's missing in the church, is the sense that Jesus can really speak to us in the here and now, and that we need to have our ears tuned to hear him. He makes these promises to us all the way through the Gospels, and we need to hang on to them. So I actually sent an email to Bishop Stephen, saying that I really felt this was important. He sent me an acknowledgement back, but I haven't had a proper reply. But I told him about an incident that happened when I was doing my training. So this is before I was ordained, back in the 90s. And as part of my training, I did a placement, a six-month placement, at a church of a different tradition than the one I'd grown up in. So the church I'd come to faith in was fairly evangelical. So I went off and did a placement at a very high church, what you might call Anglo-Catholic, a church really that was more Catholic than the Catholics. It's actually the church in Stansted. And it was a really nice vicar there, very helpful, and a really lovely congregation. So I had quite a good time there. I taught in the Sunday school and I preached and did various other things during my time there. But also during the time there, the vicar said, "It'd be useful for you to come along to a PCC meeting and just to find out how they work," because I'd hardly ever been to a PCC meeting, even though I was training to be a vicar at the time. So I went along to this meeting and just sat in the meeting and saw what happened. Now, the meeting was a little bit sad because they were talking about the fact that they could see a deficit, a large deficit looming in their finances. And they kind of talked around this for most of the meeting. It tends to happen when you've got a deficit. Towards the end of the meeting, one of the church wardens who was chairing the meeting, he just turned to me and said, "Have you got anything that you could add to this, to me?" So I just thought, well, I'll speak to them about my experience of actually hearing the voice of Jesus and knowing his guidance on what we should and shouldn't do. So I very briefly told them about this, and they got quite excited, actually. I was quite surprised, really. So they said, "Can you come back next week?" Wasn't that was on the London Palladium, wasn't it? "Can you come back next week?" They said, "Can you come back next week? We'll have a special meeting and you can explain to us what it means to hear the voice of Jesus." So I said, okay. So I prepared some material, and the next week, exactly a week later, we gathered again in the church hall. And the really surprising thing was that when I got there, the vicar said to me, "The deficit problem has disappeared. We've suddenly got some really big contributions, so we don't have to worry about that anymore." And that's why I really believe God was in this. Anyway, I sat and talked to them, told them about listening to God. So that they then got into groups, into pairs, I think they did, and just prayed together and waited a bit on God. And then they came back together and they collected together what they really felt God was saying to them. And they had this lovely old lady. She was a deaconess. And she kind of put everything together in a prayer. So she wrote a prayer for them. It was their prayer that kind of expressed the things that they felt God was calling them into. And that was really good. And as I said, the deficit disappeared in that time. So that the big problem they had was no longer there. Now, I related this story to Bishop Stephen because I really believe that congregations, you lot, can hear the voice of God, and we should be willing to hear him speaking through all of us. As you go back through the Old Testament, you know there are what we call prophets, what the Bible calls prophets, people who God spoke through to the people. And it's very interesting that those prophets normally weren't the priests, they weren't the kings, they weren't the people in charge. They could be anyone. You know, Jeremiah was only a teenager when God started speaking through him. And I believe that's true today. God can speak through anyone. And we need to have our ears open for him to speak to us. It's not really it's the vicar's job, okay, to make sure things happen. But it isn't the vicar's job necessarily to hear the voice of our Lord. Because in the book of Acts, you remember when Peter and John were arrested and were taken before the council, it says there, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, people who hadn't had any training, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." So we spend time with Jesus every Sunday morning as we gather together, as we gather around his table, as we hear him speaking through the words of the gospel. We are people who have been with Jesus, and we need to be also those people that can hear his voice, that can recognize when he speaks to us. Because he did say, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me."